either Dave's prayers were answered to calm their nerves or they have none. We'll just give that, I bet you got some, don't you? Yeah, they said. Isn't it something the people that sat so quietly among you all week, you don't know what's in them till they get up here and let it come out of them. That was good. Thank the Lord that they let... Well, earlier this week, I was on my way back from Colorado, left here the Sunday afternoon of the concert, and if you watch Riding with Rob, it's something how we can go from just a great, great, great time of worship to a blown out tire on the side of the road. We can change quick, can't we? And so, on the way back from Colorado, just exiting off Highway 40 in western Kansas and crawling up on Interstate 70, and on the radio that Tuesday evening, I knew without a doubt my outline. Now, before I go on any further, I'm going to take you back to my last bull evaluation. I was westbound and had got off of I-70. And I had got on to Highway 40, and you talk about a desert place. And that's when I began to think about you as a congregation, of how you'd send me pictures from the Smoky Mountains and the Rocky Mountains, and you in your caption would put how God is such a great creator. And on that Highway 40, I thought about how some of you, the member of the congregation, would send me pictures when you're on a beach somewhere or on the snow ski slopes in the mountains, and you'd in your captions put how God is such a great creator and look at his beautiful creation. And while I was on Highway 40, I thought I had never got a picture from here of somebody in the church telling me how great of a creator God was. But don't forget, God created that just like he did the Smoky, the Rocky Mountains, the snow, the seas. And remember how it wasn't only a desert place driving. I hit those two arrows on that radio, and it was just going number, number, number. There wasn't even a radio station welcome out there. And I began to ponder that thought, and then all of a sudden that radio began to play. And it was a song, Yes He Can, because yes He did. So I was on Highway 40, westbound, and got that message. Last evaluation day. This evaluation day, I am eastbound and just got off of Highway 40. And God, by way of radio, without doubt, Tuesday evening, give me my outline for today's message. I wasn't listening to a radio station, and I wasn't listening to a song. I'd spent all the way across Highway 40 trying to find out where I could listen to the funeral service of Donna's Uncle Larry and Aunt Levita. Because she had told me, I'd talked to her cousin Troy on Monday, and they assured me that even though I missed it, I could not miss it. And so finally, my wife calls right as I get on I-70, and she says, have you listened to that funeral? And I said, no, Troy told me, and you told me it's easy to find. You both lied. I said, I can't find it. Well, I don't know why you... I said, I don't either. But I haven't listened because I can't find it. And thankfully, my wife, in about 2 minutes, I got a text and it had a link. And all I had to do is go. So I'm going to pause just a moment and say to you, the congregation, if you want me to listen to something, don't tell me where to find it. Send me a link. Do you understand that? That's just a pause there for a minute of what I need from you, the congregation. I don't need you to tell me where to find something. I need the link. And when I hit on that link, I knew in just a moment as that pastor began to preach that funeral like this. We're gathered here today to celebrate the life of Larry and LaVita Showalter. And before I go any farther, I want you to know something about Larry and LaVita. They had a relationship with Jesus. They had a relationship with His Bible. And they had a relationship with His church. So without a doubt, I knew instantly, that's my outline. Because we live in a day and a time that everybody says they have a relationship with Jesus. But I have to call hogwash when that conversation goes on a little bit further for me to find out they don't have a relationship with His Bible. Makes me think hogwash when they say they got a relationship with Jesus. And then when I go a little farther and I find out they don't have no use for the church, by the way, that Jesus died for, I have to call hogwash on them saying, or me believing, they have a relationship with Jesus. I want everybody to listen real closely to me today. Relationships matter. And you better make sure you have a relationship with Jesus, with His Bible, and with the church He died for. I looked up the definition of relationship, and it says the way in which two or more people or groups regard or behave toward each other. The preacher, after saying Larry and LaVita had a relationship with Jesus, the Bible, and the church, he made the point, Larry and LaVita didn't just know about Jesus, they didn't just know about the Bible, they didn't just know about the church. They had a relationship with the three. So today, with that outline, I begin to preach to you the first point, and that is simply, do you have a relationship with Jesus? Now, when it comes to Larry and LaVita's relationship, Troy said, I'll be speaking at the funeral. He told me this on Monday. He then sent me a text, and it was a picture of what he was going to say. And because of how busy I was on Monday or Tuesday, I never got past the title and the first two paragraph or the first two sentences. I tried it several times, but I'd get hollered at, and you didn't come to read your phone, you come to evaluate. Anybody ever get that? So finally I just thought, oh, I so wanted to read because the title was this, A Fairly Odd Couple. And I wanted to read what Troy had to say because when I come into this family and met them about 35 years ago, I thought this fairly odd. I mean, when you met Miss LaVita, she was type A of type A's. She smiled, she laughed, she encouraged, she was loud, she was outgoing. And when you met Larry, he was quiet. And I'm going to tell you something, he was the slowest talking. Man, Owen, talking about Larry. Planet. Earth. Get to drift. I had a whole bunch of 10-minute conversations with Larry that went well into 3 hours. Folks, I'm talking about when he titled it A Fairly Odd Couple. I was shouting amen from Cheyenne Wells, Colorado. So when I finally didn't get to read, I got to listen. Troy stood up and he said, "My mom, Miss LaVita, if you knew her, you knew when she walked in the room, it was fixing to be lit up. Lit up with her bubbly personality, lit up with her loud laugh, lit up with her contagious smile. She lit the room up and couldn't wait to get in the room to light it up." And then he said, "But those of you who knew Larry, he didn't even want to go in the room. So he sure wasn't having any interest to light the room up. And so opposite, so odd. I remember Larry would just come in, and if you walked in the room and LaVita was there and loud and bubbly and just contagious with her energy, but then you had to look around for quite some time, see if Larry even come with her." So after he said that, and I knew that, listen. He said one would have to wonder how this relationship began and led to 60 plus years of marriage. And he said, "History says that my mom worked at a small diner." And in my imagination, I thought, what an energetic place to eat. I knew LaVita. And then I pictured old Larry. Walked about as slow as he talked. Walking in there. And when he laid his eyes on Miss LaVita, even though she was total opposite, history says, from the first day he walked into that lit up diner, lit up by the bubbly personality Miss LaVita, history says that he ate more than he had ate in years at that diner for the next few months. He said that's how it all started. Now most people, but you're talking about a guy that had a sanctified imagination that was listening to that story. And so driving down Interstate 70, I begin to think A Fairly Odd Couple. Me and my Lord. I begin to think about my Lord. He's holy. He's just. He's righteous. He's sinless. I begin to think about me. I'm unholy, I'm unjust, I'm unrighteous, and I'm sinful. I begin to think about how odd that is, how opposite we are. And I begin to think about what Troy said, that relationship between Larry and LaVita, totally opposites, started one day, and the rest is history. Think about a holy and a just and a righteous and a sinless God who sits in heaven and looks down on a sinful, unrighteous, unholy, unjust people, and He's a shepherd and we are the sheep. We are completely opposite. And one day when He looked down, He loved us when He seen us and He saw us as a sheep without a shepherd, and He got up and He walked down to planet Earth. He was born of a virgin. He was tempted and tried every way that we are, and He remained sinless. And when the time come, He crawled upon an old rugged cross. He died there. He was buried there. My dear friends, He done all of that completely opposite of you and I, so He could what? Come on. Have a relationship with you and I. Do you remember in the garden? Father, take this cup from me. And what he was saying, if there's any other way for me to have a relationship, a holy God with an unholy people, a just God to have a relationship with an unjust people, if there's any other way for me, a righteous God, to have a relationship with an unrighteous people, if there's any way, God, for me, a sinless God, to have a relationship with a sinful people, if there's any way, take this cup from me. But what did God answer him? No other way for that what? For that relationship. There's absolutely no other way to have that relationship. So fast forward to what the Hebrew writer said. What did he say? Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what did he do? Endured the cross. Look up here and listen. He's not saying, oh, I can't wait to get on that roller coaster of the cross. He wasn't saying when he was looking at that with joy, he couldn't wait for that adrenaline rush of that ride. That cross was far from being something joyous. It was a place that he was beat unrecognizable and he was nailed to it. So that cross was far from being a joyful thing. So what does the Hebrew writer mean when he says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross? Take it back to the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if there ain't any other way than that cross for me to have a relationship with sinful man, then bring on the cross. That will be a joyful thing. Not the cross, but what the cross, my death, my burial, and resurrection brings. What's it going to bring? A relationship. And the rest, my dear friends, is history. He went through that to have a relationship with you and I. And I don't know about you, but when I listened to Larry and LaVita and how opposite they was, but how the relationship started and the rest was history, that is none other than a picture of you and I, of being the opposite of God and him wanting a relationship bad enough to go to the real rugged cross for our sins. And all God's people said, aren't you glad, even though we're opposites, we can still have a relationship with Jesus Christ? I'm not asking you if you know about Jesus today. I'm asking you, do you know Jesus today? Now, number two, he said Larry and LaVita had a relationship with Jesus, but they had a relationship with the Bible. Now, Jesus, we know him as the living word. The Bible is the written word. You want me to put that in layman's terms? They're the same. In the volume of the book, the Hebrew writer said, it's written of me. Jesus, while here wrapped in human flesh, said, search the scriptures. Matthew recorded it. For in them you think you have eternal life. These are they which testify of me. I just wonder if that minor prophet that had a major message, his name was Amos. I just wonder, Brother Dave, if he ever run onto someone, just an old farm boy, witnessing, and somebody ever said, I've got a relationship with Jesus, but I really don't care for his word. I wonder if that's when the Holy Spirit led him to say to that person, and then jot it down for you and I. Are you ready for this? Can two walk together unless they be agreed? In other words, Amos may have been running on to somebody and said, I got a relationship with Jesus, but I really don't have no use for his word. Amos put him right back in their spot and said, hey, they're the same thing, brother. They're the same thing, sister. You can't say you have a relationship with the living word, Jesus Christ, and not have a relationship with the written word. You can't say I have a relationship with Jesus and continue to disobey His instruction book. So I say, if you say you've got a relationship with Jesus, but you don't have a relationship with His Word, I call it hogwash. And I call it hogwash because Jesus called it hogwash. To have a relationship with Jesus Christ, Paul told the Philippian jailer what must happen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, hearing people and watching people say they had a relationship with Him, He had a word for them, and He was calling it hogwash. You know why? What did He say? Why do you call Me Lord and do not do what I say? Sound to me like Jesus was calling it hogwash. You say you know Me, but you don't obey Me. You say I'm Lord, you say I'm boss, but you don't follow My instructions. You shack up, you're sexually immoral, you lie, you steal, you fraud, you forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Can two walk together? Lest they agree. And let me tell you what, if you've got a relationship with Jesus and He's the Lord of your life, you better have a relationship with the Bible because that's how He speaks to you. Do you realize that? Now watch this. Do you have a if you just come and let Him speak to you on Sunday morning, and you never let Him speak to you, or nor you speak to Him the rest of the week, can I ask you a question? What kind of relationship you got with Him? Now, some of your marriage may be there, and you realize you don't have a relationship. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you speak to your spouse one day a week, and you listen to your spouse only one day, a few minutes a week, let me tell you something. You don't have near the relationship you think you do with them. Do you understand that? That's no different than you talking and listening to God through His Word. And so you get out there in the world and there's voices and there's choices. I done that on purpose. That rhymes. There's voices, and behind the voices come. It happened yesterday. Great day with the boys' excursion. I highly recommend next time we go to the creek, we do it when it's above freezing. Everybody that was there was amen. Especially the little kid that fell in, and I just spotted him before he died of hypothermia. He didn't say nothing to nobody. I looked over and he's dripping water like he just got out of the shower. I said, son, what happened? He said, I fell in. I said, are you cold? I said, you're going to have to strip down and get in one of these vehicles and wrap up my towel. Thank the Lord, middle plank, brought some sweatpants, and we got to wrap him up a little bit. We may burn his pants trying to dry him in the fire. I don't know. But in the midst of that, we looked out to the highway. We was on 14 Mile Creek at Craig Lofton's, and two or three times somebody said, something's happening over there on the highway. Looks like there might be a bull out in the middle of the road. So here in a minute, my phone rang. It was Gloria Schenkel, which goes to Tahlequah Church. And I answered the phone. She says, Rob, are you guys over at Craig's? I said, I am. Said, he's nowhere around, but I think he's got a bull out. There's a bull over here in the middle of the road. And if you know where Craig's is, it's right over a hill, and there it is. Pretty blind spot. That's a bad place for a bull to be. There's not a good place for a bull to be in the road, but that's a worse place for a bull to be in the road. So Jack and I jump in my truck, and we head over there. About the same time, Craig pulls in. So Craig jumps out of his little vehicle. He was with his wife and granddaughter. And he jumps in the feed truck, and he heads out there. So we got all this traffic stopped. And on the way out there, I mean, it's a simple fix. Craig, we open the gate to his pasture. The bull's about a quarter of a mile down. He says, he'll know this truck. He'll know the feed bucket. He'll follow me right down. So I just went to the far side of him, and I listened. Craig hit his siren. Craig got out of the truck, got his five-gallon bucket, run some cube. Bump, 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 bump. You know how cubes sound going in the bucket. And that bull, boy, he perks up. You know what I thought of? Isaiah chapter 1, verse 3. You know the verse? An ox knows its owner. And a donkey, its master's crib. I thought, big old black bull knows his master. He knows who feeds him. He perked up when he heard that siren. He perked up when he heard them cubes hitting that bucket. But right as he'd done that, I'd rode down my windows, and Craig Odin's on both sides of the road. I heard a cow. That's a female bovine. That's the opposite of a bull. She begins to moo-hoo. And I'm not a cow whisperer, but I'm thinking she was saying something about you're a hunk, a hunk, a hunk, a loving bull. Because I'm just telling you, that bull took his eyes off of his master, and he went to them cows, which are female hops. And I don't know what they were saying, but it was interesting to him. So now in that pasture, Craig also had another bull. Well, he heard his females talking about him being a hunk of hunk of loving bulls, what I'm thinking. Well, he didn't like it. But in the meantime, Craig's still sounding his siren, and the bull turns back and starts to go to the feed, starts to go to the master. But then that other bull, and it was a whole lot different than the cow, bull. And I'm, again, I'm not a cow whisperer, but I'm assuming something like, these are my cattle, my cows, and I don't care what they think of you, big boy, I will whoop your tail. So all of a sudden, now the bull has left Craig's attention again, and he's looking over at the other bull. And I'm thinking, three voices. Which one is he going to listen to? Is he going to listen to the cow, the other bull, or his master? Come on. You better have you a relationship with the Bible. Because that cow and that bull, that's the world. And they're going to make a lot of noise. Going to be a lot of voices. And you better have a relationship with your Lord and Savior through His Word. And His voice better ring loud over the world's noise. Because if it don't, let me tell you what happened to that bull. He was in a dangerous spot. And because he was in a dangerous spot, that caused everybody around him to be in a dangerous spot. Let me tell you about the church today. There's people that say they have a relationship with Jesus. They don't have a relationship with His Word. They're in a dangerous spot. And because of that, the church and our nation is in a dangerous spot. Not everybody that says they have a relationship with Jesus has a relationship with Jesus. And the proof of that is it ain't confirmed by them having a relationship with the Word of God. They're following the wrong voices, making the wrong choices, and ending up in a dangerous spot. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Larry and LaVita, they have a relationship with Jesus. They have a relationship with the Bible. But they have a relationship with the church. Now, we all, if you do any witnessing at all, you've witnessed to them people that say, oh, I've got a relationship with Jesus. I know Him well. I love Christ, but I can't stand His church. Ooh. Folks, let me tell you, when somebody says that, you know what I say about them? Their relationship with Christ that they think they have, I say hogwash. You tell me you love Jesus, but you hate His people. You tell me you love Jesus, but you hate the church. And let me just fill you in on something. Christ died for the church, according to Ephesians chapter 5. So I got a whole, and I know we've recently looked at Hebrews 10:24. Where it says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up strife and envy and terrible works and... No. That's why some churches gather, isn't it? Be like that one old boy. He was running to the church and his neighbor said, son, where are you going? He said to the church, he said, well, you ain't never went down there before. He said, oh, they're in a big fight. He said, what's it about? He said, I don't know, but I'm getting in on it. That's where most churches are today. But it says, let us consider one another. Remember I said a few weeks ago, you don't just go to church for yourself. You go for other people. Let us consider one another in order to stir up not strife, not envy, not fights, but stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, so much more as you see the day approaching. Not only do they have a relationship with Jesus, confirmed by them having a relationship with His Word, but double confirmed because they had a relationship with His church. Now the second one to speak after the son was Brent, and that was a grandson. I want you to listen to the wisdom of just short of a 19-year-old boy talk about his grandma. He got up and he said, "First of all, I want to speak of my grandmother. I've known her just short of 19 years. And I've been around her a lot." I mean, most grandkids have been around their grandmas a lot. Listen to me, grandmas. He said, "I never seen my grandma. Never." Pretty stout right here. 19 years. "I never seen my grandma that she didn't have a smile on her face." Come on now. 19 years, you're a grandkid, you're around her a lot. "I never seen my grandma that she didn't have joy in her heart." Come on now, grandkid, 19 years, you see grandma like, "I never been my grandma, that her personality wasn't bubbling." "18 years old, he said, "and here's what I had enough." I know we're kin because he might not be real smart, but this boy ciphered well. And I know he ciphered well because what he said next. You ready? "I had enough sense to know my grandma had trials. I had enough sense to know everything wasn't always good in my grandma's life. I had enough sense to know she shouldn't always be so bubbly, but I never seen her any differently. When she went to church, she went for the right reason." He said, "I don't know how to make any kind of analogy other than this, and it confirmed what I say to many basketball, football teams that I speak to." He said, "Our coaches tell us, I don't care how bad you're hurting or what the score is, your demeanor, your body language does not change." Now listen to this. His coach told him, "If your body language changes and your demeanor changes because you're hurt or because the score of the game, that just simply tells me you're selfish and you're not a team player." Whew. And with tears running down an 18-year-old just short of 19-year-old's cheeks, he shut that message down by saying, "My grandma's the greatest team player that the kingdom of God has ever known." And let me tell you how I knew that, because of what had already been said that a lot of people didn't know. And it confirmed to the furthest what that grandboy just said. Remember that preacher said, "I was wet, I was behind young, and I come there as a young pastor," and he said, "Larry and LaVita was my rock." I understand that. He said, "They fed us when we couldn't afford to buy food. They kept our kids when we needed to minister to a family. We was as tight with them as anybody." Now listen to this. They had Troy and they had old Joe, and old Joe was almost full grown. And he said, "About 2 to 3 years into this ministry, we found out something about them." And I knew this when he kept talking about their two boys. Larry and Navita had 3 boys. And I can't think of a worse way to lose a child to burning up in a house fire. And that's how that oldest boy died. And their pastor, that knew them what he thought intimately, had been around them for 3 years before he ever knew they'd lost a child. I'm with Brent. That's a team player. That's unselfish. Because most of us, when we're around somebody 5 minutes, they know all the negatives about us. And when your pastor don't even realize you'd lost a child to a house fire and had known you for just short of 3 years, folks, that's stout. That's a team player. That's unselfish. Because when she walked in the doors of the church, she was all about, we're not going to let the enemy defeat us. She understood something about the enemy. He can't hear us talk. He can't hear us when we talk quietly in our heart. The enemy, the devil, only hears us when we verbalize it. You got that? She knew, watch what you say. Keep it inside. She knew something about the enemy, Brother Dave. He can read body language. He can see when a Christian's beginning to live a defeated life and don't like the blows that he's delivered to them. She knew something about, I don't care how hard he hits me, I'm going to rejoice in all things and always. She knew something about not letting the enemy know that she was injured. She knew something about coming to the house of God and gathering up with brothers and sisters, because she knew the outcome is we win in the end. And she wasn't going to show any sign of being a selfish and a weak player. Is that how you want to come to church? I know you got trials. I know you got tribbles. Some of you even got tribulations with your tribbles. I understand that. You got family in the hospital right now. You got doctor's reports that are terrible. I understand that. And when you come in and you verbalize that, enemy just, I got them. Listen, I know their problems and I'm going to pound on that situation. I'm going to tell you what. I always wanted to be the calf roper. When I rode out of the arena, you couldn't tell if I won first or I just got my teeth kicked in. That's how I wanted to ride out of the arena. I want to keep them wondering. We're beating him to pieces and he acts like he won first. You bet, because I know I'm going to again. And you're not gonna get one up on me. Folks, that's how we ought to be as a Christian. And so I knew when I preached this, I thought the church was a hospital for sinners. And he's telling me when I've got trials and I got troubles and I'm hurting and I'm broken and I'm falling apart inside, he's telling me I can't even come in and cry on somebody's shoulder. I didn't say that. Have you watched what's happened in football the last 10 years? When somebody gets injured on the field, they bring them off the sidelines. They don't stop right when they get to sidelines. They go back there to something. What do they go back there to? A tent. And they won't even look at them players till they get in that tent. Has anybody seen that? Let me tell you why they do that. We live in such a world that has no integrity. The opposing team, I mean, they've proved it. They're watching signals. They're watching from upside. They're watching injuries. They're watching body language. Do you understand that? When somebody gets injured and they're hurting, they're crushed inside, listen, that team, we got to get tense. We got to take our injured people in the tents, lest the enemy see where they're hurting, target that. Come on. That's in football, folks. And let me just tell you something. In the church, don't be verbalizing your injuries, your hurts, your brokenness. And don't walk in with a body language, you're all down and out. Come in here, and even if you're falling apart inside, we're going to give you an opportunity to come to the tent. Right here's the tent. We're going to give you the opportunity, if you know a brother or sister who's hurting, is injured, and falling apart inside, but you know they got a bubbly personality, and they're struggling to keep it bubbling. You know that. I know that. We come to the end of the service. Guess what? It's tent time. It's time to grab a brother or a sister by the shoulder that you know is hurting and come to the tent. Come to the tent and begin to say in your heart, Lord, we need your help. The enemy, we're injured, we're hurting, we're broken. And we ought to be very conscious of what we say and our body language, because it says a lot of what's going to happen in the battle. I would to God that when I preach the Word of God any time, any place, whether I've got hell raging against me or heaven's done come down and filled my soul. That's close to a song, ain't it? Every time I preach, I don't want anybody having to wonder what I'm going through. When I preach the Word of God, my body language and my language with the Word of God, it needs to be solid as a rock, straight through. And all God's people ought to be saying amen. And if I'm supposed to preach that way, you ought to worship that way. And when it's time, the tents will be open to our brokenness, our injuries, our hurts, and our heartaches. Amen? So she had that kind of relationship with the church. And 3 years before, the pastor knew the most devastating thing that can happen to a mama. That's a team player. So people tell me, I love Jesus. I just don't have no use for his people. Jesus says hogwash. 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest. Manifest what? That none of them were of us. Let me say something. I was asked this week, how big a turnover do you have in your church? I said, pretty good. Pretty big turnover. Was that healthy? I said, I think so, according to Elder Harold. That elder wears him overhauls. He says we're always going to have a turnover because the Word of God's preached so hard here. So what happens when the Word of God is preached hard? It convicts. The Spirit calls. They cry out. But then here comes this change that's supposed to take place. And I call them Alka-Seltzer Christians. They fizz for a little bit, but then they go out. I call them rocket Christians. They go up like a rocket, but they come down like a rock. So they'll worship with you for a little bit, and it's in the parable of the sower and the seed. They worship with you a little bit, but they're gone. And they have no use for the church no more. But they'll tell you, I got a relationship with Jesus. Jesus just said hogwash. Now listen to me. I'm not saying everybody that leaves Exciting Southeast is lost. There's a lot of people that's left here. How about the Quattrobombs? 16 years? They've moved to Claymore. They left here. You was here last Sunday night. We hugged on them. We loved on them. We cried with them. They left here. But I promise you, they are searching and praying for a church home. And I would never say of anybody that leaves here to go to another church home is not of us. But look up here and listen to me. The sad thing about a lot of our turnover is people leave here, and you'll see them down the road, and they ain't in any kind of church. And that's meaning they don't have a relationship with the church. And Jesus just said, hogwash. You can't say you've got a relationship with me and not have a relationship with the church that I died for. So we've been talking about Larry and LaVita. So, I mean, you guys kind of know Larry right now. I mean, quiet, introvert. You've never met him. But, I mean, 10-minute conversations, minimum of an hour. Introvert, you don't even know he's in the room, and you just love people like that. Humble, hardworking man. So just picture you know Larry, okay? And you just go up to Larry and you just say, Larry, I love your humility. I love your quiet spirit. I love how hard you work. And you know what, Larry? I just love when you're in a room. You're not concerned about lighting it up. We even have to wonder if you're there. And then Larry, golly, give me a hug, Larry. You hug old Larry up. I love that slow talk. I love it because I know where you're going 15 minutes before you get there, but I still love listening till you get there. Are you with me? I mean, you're just loving on old Larry. And old Larry, he just kind of grinning, taking it all in. But then you all of a sudden say, but Larry, I tell you what, that dadgum LaVita, I cannot stand her.
She's loud. Oh, she's always bubbly and smiling. And Larry, I'm just going to tell you, I can't take her. As much as I love you, she makes me want to puke. I mean, I absolutely, Larry, cannot take that contagious smile. It ain't getting on me. Must have been a good Baptist. Huh? Now, how good a relationship you think they've really going to have with Larry? Huh? I'm going to promise you, they can tell me they got a great relationship with Larry, but if that's their way of thinking and that's what they're doing, I can tell you something different. They don't have near the relationship with Larry that they think they have. I want you to look up here and I want you to listen to me. When somebody tells me they love Christ, but it's Christ's people that they hate, I'm not real smart, but I cipher really well. And I'm going to tell you something about them people. They ain't got near the relationship with Jesus they think they've got. Do you hear that? Don't you ever be one of them people that says you have a relationship with Jesus, but you don't believe His book and you don't love His church. Because I'm going to tell you what Jesus says. Oxymoron. Can't happen. Relationships are important. And you better make sure you got one with Him. I read Larry's obituary. He was born on February 19th, 1942. He died December 18th, 2021. I read Levita's obituary. She was born on February 22nd. What day was Larry born? February 19th, 1942. So when I read that, I did have to go back and look, Terry. I forgot too, but I thought that's got to be awful close. If I'd done my ciphering right, completely different places and different times, they was born 3 days apart. Levita died January 7th, 2022. If I'd done my math right, they died 3 weeks apart. I've been to, and I have been the one leading numerous funerals. I've never done a husband and wife's funeral together. Their funeral was together. At the same time, at the same place. A fairly odd couple. I'm not so sure they was. 80 years ago, born 3 days apart. 80 years later, they die 3 weeks apart. And their memorial services are the same day. And they'd been married 60 plus years. What on the surface seems like an odd couple really seemed to me like something that was just meant to be. And that's exactly how I look at my relationship with Him. Seems such an odd couple robbing Jesus. But when I look back at all the things that's happened in my life from the time I was born till the time I come to know Him as my Lord and Savior until I meet Him, it really wasn't that odd after all. You're sitting here today, it could be that you needed to hear you really don't have a relationship with Him. And it wasn't based on my opinion. It was based on the Word of God. And I got good news. He's still asking people to marry Him. He's still asking people to say an everlasting I do to Him. Is He speaking to your heart today? Would you do what Miss Levita done as a young girl in revival services at Tahlequah? She said, I do to Jesus. Would you do what Mr. Larry Showalter done as a young man at Westside Baptist Church in Madonna, Kansas? He said, an everlasting I do to Jesus Christ. And I'm convinced because they both, as young people, said everlasting I do to Jesus. I'm convinced that had a whole lot to do with 60 plus years of their relationship with each other because of their relationship with Him. They are a picture of a 3-strand cord is not easily broken. If you don't have a relationship with the Bible or you don't have a relationship with the church, and man, it hurt today, come to the tent. Come to the altar and get that relationship with the church and the relationship with the Bible back where it needs to be. And if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you're not for sure where you'd spend eternity, today'd be a great day to say, I do, to Jesus Christ. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. It's just that simple. How's your relationship with the church? If it's anything less than pleasing to God, the altars are open. How's your relationship with the Bible? How often do you read it? How often do you hear God speak to you? And if it's one time a week, you don't have near the relationship you think you have. The altars are open. If you're here today and you thought you had a relationship with Jesus Christ when you come in, but through the preaching of the Word and the presence of the Holy Spirit, you realize you're lost, you realize you're undone, and you realize if you die, it'll be in the torments of hell that you spend of eternity instead of the glory and the splendors of heaven. However God's speaking to your heart, wouldn't you want to respond in a way that's pleasing and a blessing to you? If you need to come concerning your relationship with the church and the Bible, altars are open. You need a relationship with Jesus, we'd love to show you from the Word of God how to do that. But I want everybody to look up here. If you come today, I know some of you, and I'll just tell you, I didn't see it through your body language. I can just tell you, you've done good to come in and be a team player today because I see a bright countenance about you. But let me tell you what I do know as your pastor. I know some of you, you're just trying to be a team player. You're hurting inside. You've got a loved one that's struggling. You got a loved one that's lost. That doctor's report ain't good. Come on. And I want to thank you as your pastor for coming in today with your body language, nothing but positive. I want to thank you today that you come in and you put your worship on. But don't forget, this is a place where we can come to the tent. And if you're hurting and you're injured and you got something that's weighing heavy on you, come on. Miss Nettie's always ready and waiting to pray with any of you women that's that. I mean, she's ready to go to the tent with you. Aren't you glad for Miss Nettie? Always glad to take the women that's hurting and get in the tent. Let's don't let the enemy in the world know. But listen, we can go in the tent and we can fight. We can fix these injuries. Huh? Don't just sit there when the tents are available. Don't just sit there. If you got a hurt and you got an injury, step out. You don't have to tell anybody what it is. You can elbow them. You can come to the tents, these altars for yourself. Dave's going to sing. And if you're hurting, if you're injured, if you're falling apart inside, this is where to get it fixed. Amen. Father, we love you. We praise you. My prayer is souls to be saved, lives to be changed. Father, we do thank you for our altars that serve as a tent where we can come when we're injured, we're hurted, we're wounded. Father, when you give us such a place to come with brothers and sisters to help us with our hurts, our heartaches, and our pains, and so often we don't take advantage. Father, I know there's prayers that need to be offered up for people, for things. Father, have your way in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.